भगवद गीता 8.20
परस्तस्मात् तु भावोऽन्यो व्यक्तो व्यक्तात् सनातनः यः स सर्वेषु भूतेषु नश्यत्सु न विनश्यति। परस्तस्मात् तु भावोऽन्यो, देर इज भाव, दट इज अनदर नेचर। परस्तस्मात् अनदर, परस ट्रांसेंडेंटल, व्यक्तो व्यक्तात् सनातनः, बियॉन्ड द मैनिफेस्ट एंड द अनमैनिफेस्ट नेचर। Krishna is talking about how the material nature is sometimes manifested and sometimes unmanifest. Avyakta adyaktaya sarva prabhavatya ragame ratryagame praliyante tatraiva vyakta sangyake. So you stated that in a cyclic way, matter becomes manifest and then it becomes unmanifest. So here he is stating that the matter which is unmanifest is not transcendental, it is not spiritual. So the spiritual reality exists beyond the manifest matter and the unmanifest matter. Yah sa sarveshu bhuteshu, and everything in this world, nashyatsu na vinashyati, when everything in this world is destroyed, that part, the spiritual world, the parabhava, that is not destroyed. In this section of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is comparing the material and the spiritual worlds, and he is thereafter. So in the previous three verses, 17 to 19, he has talked about how everything in the material world, including even the abode of Brahma, is temporary. And in this verse, he's going to talk about how the spiritual world is eternal. So this and the next two verses, he will talk about the eternality of the spiritual world. And Krishna will later on reiterate that this spiritual world is not different from his kingdom, his abode. He will talk about that in 8.22. Let's focus on the essential point of this verse. Here Krishna is stating that actually the spiritual world is different from the material world, in both the manifest and the unmanifest state. And the defining characteristic is that it remains, it survives and exists and flourishes even when everything in this world is destroyed. The word manifest and unmanifest can, in different contexts, refer to different things. We'll see how in 8.22, Krishna uses the word unmanifest to refer to the spiritual world, whereas the same word avyakta, which is used here, refers to the material things which are not manifest to the senses. So now, avyakta can refer to two things, even at the material level. So broadly, subtle matter, as contrasted with gross matter, is also avyakta. Subtle matter is also temporary, is also unmanifest to our senses, and so it can also be called avyakta. And that means the mind, the intelligence, the ego, these cannot be perceived with our senses. In that sense, they are unmanifest. And gross matter also goes into an unmanifest state during the
during the intermission between two phases of between two creations. That is gross matter also in an unmanifest state. That means it still has the potentiality to manifest in multiple forms with, that are perceived and multiple with multiple attributes perceivable by the various senses, but it is presently in an unmanifest state. That is what happens between the intermissions between two phases of creation. And beyond that, there is the state of the spirit. There is a spiritual state. So spiritual is also unmanifest, and it is unmanifest to the senses, and it is not in phases. It is always unmanifest to our senses. And you may say this, in subtle matter is also unmanifest to our senses. But subtle matter is not characterized by yahasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu na vinashyati. In the case of subtle matter, when everything in this world is destroyed, that subtle matter doesn't continue to exist. That is also destroyed. The senses are useful on the spiritual path for the purpose of engagement, not for the purpose of perception or learning primarily. Spiritual reality is not perceivable with our senses. And so in that sense, it is fundamentally different from material reality, especially gross material reality. Krishna will later on in the 15th chapter, in the 10th verse, talk about how utkramantam stitam vapi bhunjanam va gunanvitam vimudhananu pashyanti pashyanti jnana chakshushaha. So you will say pashyanti jnana chakshushaha, that the soul can be perceived not with the gross senses but with the eyes of knowledge. Jnana chakshushaha. So unmanifest means that which is not perceivable with our eyes, not perceivable with our senses, but that which can be perceived with the knowledge that we have. The spiritual is indestructible. That is one of its defining characteristics. It is also invisible. But it is not unattainable. It can be attained by purification, by elevation of consciousness, which we will talk about, which will be talked about in the Bhagavad Gita in the subsequent verses and the subsequent chapters. Here Krishna is continuing from what he spoke in 8.16 talks about two things. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartino arjuna mamupetya tu kaunteya punarjanmana vidyate. So first half of this verse talks about 18.16. So 8.16 A and B talks about from the highest to the lowest planets, this world is a place of death and destruction. And the second half of it talks about how if those who attain Krishna's abode, they don't come back again. So the A and B have been expanded in 17, 18, 19, and the C and D, by A, B, C, D, we are referring to the lines of the verse. So A, B are the first two lines. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartino arjuna. And C and D are मामुपेति तु कौन्तेय पुनर्जन्म न विद्यते. So by worshipping Krishna, we don't take birth again. So where do we go? What is that attainment? By going where we won't take birth again? That Krishna is elaborating in this verse, these three verses. And he begins that by declaring that there is an abode which is indestructible. And that is beyond the manifest and unmanifest material. It is transcendental. Thank you.